What's up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of
Is This Gonna Cause an Argument?
Oh, you were here.
Oh, get out of here. One time. In all the how many episodes we got?
Don't say one time at all, because there's been times where you've been there, but the words weren't there.
Last episode, Tahir took over your whole mouth.
Last episode? How? Yeah. When?
Girl, you was fumbling all kinds of words. We're going to go back and listen to it. Your tongue took a nap.
I think not.
Yo, I think so. Welcome back to another episode of Is This Gonna Cause an
Argument?
I'm your host, Marcus Anthony Tanksley.
Another
also
episode.
Known as Marcus Ain't on the Gram. Also known as Tank. Also known as Dude. Because I can, Dude, be calling me Heifer. I am one of the hosts of this. Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? My other host is my wife of almost 14 years. Go ahead and let them know who you are.
My name is Angel Lakita Moore Tanksley, also known as That Chick Angel.
What are you saying?
Did I just break my mother's chair? Anyways, I am your other host of this weekly podcast. And we have been doing special episodes from our hometown of Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
We are here starting off my leg of the slightly problematic tour, take two. So if you are in one of the cities that we're coming to, do not wait. Buy your tickets. It's going to be lit. Am I hot? My husband doesn't like me touching on him. I'm not. Well, yes, I am. I'm a hot girl.
There you go. Yeah.
if you are only listening to this, please rate and review us on whatever podcast platform you're on. If you want to see us, go ahead and come to my YouTube channel, That Chick Angel TV, where you can actually see this happen.
Yeah.
If you want to see us live, which is like where live, it's really,
where
really
it's happening.
At, okay, you need to join our Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/thatchickangel.
Yeah, if you're watching it live, you know the explanation of why this lovely young lady is sitting to Angel's left.
If you're watching.
If you're watching it. And not listening.
We're in my mother's house. We have Marcus's mom here.
Mama,
we got the kids in the background being loud.
Yeah.
But I want to give a shout out to our Patreon that are watching this live. What's up, immediate family? There's almost 200 of them watching this live, watching us argue, fumble, drop the ball, Marcus insult me, and then do the thing that he said that I was doing.
Yeah.
Then he tried to have to go train through that thing.
I did. Just like you did. You did great fixing up what you did yesterday. I mean, it was an awful train wreck, but you cleaned it up.
What
you
are
swept
you
it up.
About?
The fact that you don't even remember makes it even more hilarious. We're going to go back and listen to it. Don't worry about it. Moving on. This is a weekly podcast. We talk about any and everything, y'all. We talk about politics. We talk about family. We talk about relationships. We talk about goals, entrepreneurship, 9-to-5ers. Everything.
I think Marcus's mama's back there tipsy. She back there giggling.
Oh yeah, mama's tipsy. I made mama a strong drink. She don't even know it yet because you can't taste the liquor.
Is back there
and the
giggling.
Landlord.
We haven't even started.
She's when I was making it, I said mama's about to be a good time.
She's gonna be my next guest on Crafts and Cocktails.
I have to do an episode right here.
She ain't gonna be no good. She's gonna be down. Do what? Okay. For those of y'all who don't know, also, I have a show called Crafts and Cocktail on the Kev on Stage Studios app and on my YouTube channel, That Chick Angel TV. Check it out.
Check it out, yeah.
Because I'm flubbed That Chick Angel.
Oh, my God. Why you just petty?
Are you thinking I can't see your face in the monitor?
Oh, this woman right here.
Go ahead. Please continue. Leave the show.
Go ahead. You so lovely at doing it.
No. I love when you take the
lead.
All
right. So this episode is sponsored by Magic Spoon, No Cube, and Apostrophe. We will tell you about them later on in this episode. We greatly appreciate our sponsors. So when we talk about them, make sure you go support them. Because when you support them, you support us. And help us pay for all this cametry and stuff.
Cametry.
Yes.
Sound equipment. Because we want to upgrade to the Shure mic here.
Yeah, so y'all can't hear none of this crap in the background. Y'all just hear us.
That's what we want. Amen and amen.
Amen.
What's next? I'm letting you take the lead.
Are you letting me take the lead?
Come on. My husband is my new business partner. So I want him to feel
business superior. Don't touch me.
Did you just say business superior? Y'all know no, so this man's drink is wrong.
We always start this episode. Hey, for real.
The kids are just, they're excited.
Turn the TV down, and y'all turn down.
That's how
turn
we got
down
to be.
Turn down to one.
That used to be when I, my good friend Wendell.
Friend Wendell, turn down to one. He wasn't turning nothing up. Anyway.
Friday night, everybody shots. Turn down to one.
He'd be on the wall. He's in Vegas saying, turn down to one. Okay. Oh my goodness. So we start this podcast off. We start every episode off with one of two segments. We either started off with In My Feelings or Tanksley Pride. Wife, which would you like to start this episode off with?
Well, we have a huge In My Feelings that we did not mention.
We do have a huge In My Feelings we didn't mention.
So something that I'm sure has us both feeling some kind of way.
Yeah.
Is that we lost something like a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to leaving for Kentucky, our puppy of almost 12 years, Supreme, had to be put down.
Yeah.
Due to his failing health. And it was just a little too much to try to keep him alive and comfortable. And the ailments that he has had were too costly to treat.
Yeah.
So if you want to tell them about how it went down.
See how we switched that mood? We're going to bring it right back. But no, we actually scheduled an appointment. It was like 2.5 weeks before we was able to get that appointment.
Yeah, because I kept asking Marcus.
Let me address this real quick. Y'all, look. We don't need anybody giving us advice on what to do with our pets and family and our health. And people's like, hey, you shouldn't do this. Don't self-diagnose your pet. We were doing stuff in the meantime until we could get into a vet, okay? So with that addressed.
Oh, okay. Address it, baby.
I already addressed it. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I don't need no, I'm not reaching out to an internet vet. I got vets that live down the street from me I can talk to. Anyway.
So yeah, we took him to the vet and talked to them. They did confirm that he had a form of mange, like I already looked up and knew. So and he was already actually starting to look better from that, but they were trying to feed him treats and they were like, yeah, he doesn't have an appetite. I'm like, he would never, in his best health at his youngest age, he would never take a treat from anybody out in public. Like, that's one thing about Supreme. He would never eat in public. He would never take a dump away from the house. Mm-hmm. He would never take treats. Like, we would go to PetSmart. He was never one of those dogs. They would always try to, hey, you can give him some treats. I'm like, yeah, he ain't gonna eat that.
Right.
But anyway,
when I took him in and they were just like, yeah, they were looking at him and they confirmed, you know, he had the mange and they were just like, yeah, he's like old. They're like, he's really, really old. Like, how old is he? I'm like, he's just 12. But for his that size dog, larger dogs don't live as long as smaller dogs. But there's things that could have made him probably, we could have done things that made him last like maybe a couple more months comfortably. But she was like, we can, you know, do toward that. Or I'm like, do I really want to start putting all these drugs in him and all of that? So they was like, you know, it's probably best if you just go ahead and put him down, which I already knew that. I was probably thinking that. Past couple of months, I've been thinking, all right, Supreme, he's toward the end. It's about that time.
We've been thinking about that for a minute. Like, we were at
back at the old house when his hip started hurting him real bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, he's in a lot of pain. I'm not going to let him suffer like this.
Right.
And then when I started giving him fish oil tablets and glucosamine tablets. Glucosamine tablets. Mm-hmm. It got better. Like, he was moving better. He wasn't, yelping anymore. You could tell getting up, he wasn't as strong as he used to be, but he wasn't in pain, like, after laying down and then standing up. So that got better. And then same thing with the mange. His hair and stuff started growing back, but I'm just like, how long am I going to really drag this out?
There were multiple times at the old house where we would be out there looking.
Yeah, like, every morning, my routine literally was getting up in the morning. I'd get ready for work. I'd go outside, make sure he had water. I would look in his doghouse like, are you breathing? Because he got to the point, used to, he would jump up, be all excited, run out of his doghouse first thing in the morning. It'd be like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. It got to the point to where he would just raise his head and look at me. It got to the point he wouldn't even acknowledge me. He'd just keep sleeping. Like, I would see his ear move like he He hears me, then he just get on comfortable. Like, I holler at you when you get off.
No, it was to the point where you didn't want him to get up. At least for me, because I knew how much work it took him to get up. I'd be like, no, baby, I'm not coming out here for you. Just lay down.
Yeah, I would be out in the front yard, and I'll have him out there. It was one time he was laying in the garage. And I was doing something. I was like, come on, Supreme. I was making a walk to the backyard with me. Angel was like, don't make him get up.
I was like, just let the baby lay there.
He was like an old person. He was like grunt.
Oh, yeah.
He would stand up and shake. And then he was like, all right, let's walk. But yeah, so I went out ahead and had him put down. I was in there. I was holding him while they did it. He let me know who he was right before he went out. They was reaching over to grab his paw. And you want another one?
I just want y'all to know my mother-in-law.
This is my mama's glass right here.
She said I can't tell everything.
She was like, when you get a break, you go ahead.
No, because if it was my mama, he would air her all the way out.
She gonna be in here in the. She was like, oh, he's fixing more. Watch.
I know.
She gonna come around that corner anyway.
When you get a break, fill me up.
Go ahead and do both of them. But yeah, I sat there and held him, and they reached over and grabbed his paw, and he just like let off one last growl. I was like, yeah, that's right.
How bad did
you cry? Oh, y'all, my mask was full of snot and tears. I was in there. Ugly cry.
Were you crying
now? No, it wasn't ugly cry. It was a consistent
stream of tears.
A consistent flow of tears and snot filling my mask up. Mm. I was like, it's okay. I was like, don't you touch me.
I'm so sorry, babe.
She's like, you're doing the right thing. Bitch, I know. I don't need you to tell me that. Need you to tell me.
Oh, I feel so bad for you. I remember how bad it was.
I know how it is. That's not my first time. I've had to have a dog put to sleep. And that's just what happens. These pets live long enough to where you can't live without them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I'll let you in heaven.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was Supreme. Angel's like, you want another dog? I'm like, nah.
That's what's so crazy. He's like, I know it's not crazy. I understand. Dogs are so much responsibility.
They're a lot of responsibility. And I'm like, I'm the type of person that when I have a dog, I want to train them and I want them to be, I'm from the country. So we don't have just companions. We have dogs that serve a purpose. And a dog that serves a purpose is not a burden to you. So if I have a dog that's not fully trained the way I want it, it's now a burden. Supreme wasn't a burden until like he got really, really old or anytime we traveled.
I was about to say, because Supreme was a burden when we traveled.
Yeah, when we travel, because Supreme, like me, he's not a people person. He's not somebody that you can walk up to and just pet him and he's going to love you. No, I have to warm him up for like a week before he's like, all right, this person's cool. I'm going to let him in the backyard with me.
But you know what? No, he wasn't that bad until he had to have surgery. Before, it was a thing of if we introduced Supreme
in public.
Yes, yeah. In public.
In public, yeah.
And if we introduce Supreme to someone one time, typically,
if it was in our backyard in his home, he was cool with that person.
But once
when we're around, it still take that person could still show up without us. He'd be like, "You ain't supposed to be back here yet."
But we just Supreme after that surgery.
After that surgery, he didn't trust nobody,
I did not trust Supreme. At all, as far as I trust him with my kids, I trusted him around me.
Yeah.
I did not trust him with anyone else.
Yeah, out in public, strangers after that surgery, because he attacked a couple of vets during that process. He gained the distrust. They all gained his distrust. He was like, I don't trust none of y'all. Anybody I don't know.
Supreme got to the point, this was not all his fault, but a lot of it was on him. The reason why I won't say it was all in his fault is that Callie trusted no one.
Yeah.
Okay, Callie was a scared dog, right?
Scared dog, mainly of men.
Yeah, mainly of men. So, because Callie and Supreme, and for those of you all who don't know, I had a Yorkie for 13 years named Callie that we put down in 2019. Because she developed cancer, is what they thought it was. We didn't have enough money to figure out if they were right or not.
It was sudden. That was like, one day, it's like, what's wrong with Callie? The next day, day and a half later, we had to get her put to sleep.
So we had put them in a PetSmart, in the Pets Hotel.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that he feeds off of her energy. So if she's scared, he's like, well, let's kill everyone.
Yeah. He's like, oh, there's a problem. Well, let's end it.
Let's end the problem. So she obviously, she can't do that much damage. All she's going to do is make noise, right?
Yelp, shake.
Yeah, that's all she's going to do.
Snap, growl. Callie was 3.5 pounds.
However, Supreme can do damage.
And Supreme was about a 120 at the time.
They, when Marcus went to pick them up.
Hold up. No.
They called first.
They called.
Yeah.
So we get a phone call and they're like, for the safety of, no, the first they just let us know is like, Supreme, he's having some difficulties, you know, so we got to take extra caution, but we have to move his room. He's no longer in the large room that we originally put him in because he can charge. Yeah. So we got to put him in the room that's in the corner. I was like, and I saw that room. I was like, no, I didn't see that room. I wanted to see it, but they showed me the dimensions. Because when I dropped him off, me and Angel wanted to walk their facility to see what kind of conditions would our dogs be in. They was like, oh, for insurance purposes, we can't do that. Whatever. There was like, I said, well, let me pay for the big room because I want my dog to have space. They said, we can't put him in the biggest room. He's got to be downsized a little bit. So they said, they called me and let me know that. Then about a day and a half later, they call again. We on Christmas vacation, so we gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
About a day and a half later, they called me again and was like, for the safety of our staff, we can no longer take him out for walks. We will continue to feed him and let him use the restroom. However,
y'all,
Amara is climbing the double oven right now.
He's climbing the double oven in my mother's kitchen. I'm sorry, we have to take a quick break.
Thank you.
You're down.
He know he ain't supposed to do it.
As he looks back and smiles at us.
No.
Before we jump back into the story, Let's jump to our first sponsor of today's episode. And that is Magic Spoon. Y'all know us. We done told y'all this multiple times. You know what the tanks is like. We like cereal. Okay? We like cereal in the morning. We like cereal in the midday. We like cereal in the evening.
All the time.
There ain't no time that we don't like cereal, and there ain't no time that we don't love Magic Spoon. You know why? Because Magic Spoon is so good for you and tastes so good, it don't seem like it can be right. Because y'all know, these cereals out here in these grocery stores, they got about 1,500 grams of sugar. You got all these trans fats. You got all this mess in there that you ain't, especially not as an adult, that you don't need to be having. So, Magic Spoon, 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net carbs in each serving. That's 140 calories per serving. You're not going to get that in these random cereals that you might be able to get from the grocery store, all right? And let me tell you, Magic Spoon's flavors that they have, the different ones they have, they are the business. Let me tell you some of the flavors they got. They've got cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon. That could literally be a DMX remake. Instead, I got Keisha, got frosted, fruity, blueberry, cocoa. Frosted is my favorite. Blueberry is my husband's favorite. But I do like the combo of cocoa and peanut butter. Gives you a whole little like peanut butter cup feeling. And you know what I like about cereal though? Is that whenever I get a sweet tooth and I be like, I want some cake, I can just have me some Magic Spoon with some good old almond milk. And I'm quenching that sweet tooth that's pulling me. There's just so many things that Magic Spoon offers that I just want you all to check out. One is that you can create your own custom bundle where you can choose any of those flavors and make them and build your own box. All right. They're also keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. You feel me? So this is what we want you to do. Go to magicspoon.com/argue to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code ARGUE at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. It's backed with 100% guarantee, happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at matchspoon.com/argue.
Argue.
And use the code ARGUE.
Argue.
To save $5 off. And we thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.
Thank you, Magic Spoon.
So,
yeah, about a day and a half later, they call us and was like, yeah, for the safety of the staff, we can no longer take him out for walks. And also, when you come get him after your vacation, he is no longer allowed in any capitals. PetSmart facility.
They said he is banned. You need to find a new place to board your dog.
Yeah.
So that meant that he couldn't be bored.
So yeah. So when I went to go pick him up, you know how they told me I couldn't go back there and view any of the where the dogs because of insurance purposes. It was like they gave me the leash and was like, he's all the way in the back to the right.
They said you go on there and get him.
So I walk in, of course, he's in the corner or whatever. And I remember he's like sitting in the corner, just staring at the gate. Like, who's about to come in here and try some stuff now? So I walk in and he livens right up. He's shaking he's peeing. He's so excited. So I walk in, he's jumping up on me, he hugged me or whatever. The vet, I'm in there for a while. So the dude, I hear a knock on the door.
Not
the
vet.
These ain't vets. These are people. They wear scrubs, though. You know the people be watching your dogs at PetSmart. I hear the door open, and he, like, barely... This is him peeking through the door. Is everything okay? I said, yeah, we cool. So I was to the point... I got to the point where I didn't even walk Supreme on a leash. He would be off leash and just would stay beside me. So when I walk out, he's walking beside me, and he's, like, running around or whatever. So I walk up to the front desk and like he's like just smelling stuff, walking around. There was like, could you put him on a leash, please? You need to put him on a leash. I was like, all right. I was like, Spring, come on. So he walks over to me, wagging his tail. I'm like, come on, you know, jump. I do this. So he like jumps up on me. I put the leash on. I was like, he's a completely different dog. Oh my God. I'm like, I'm his owner. Do you think he would try to kill me? But he was going to, like, they were just, and their minds were blown. And he, like, saw another dog. He didn't, like, lunge at the dog. He just, like, looked at the dog. Dog was walking by. He went on about his business. So, right, just to show them, right before I walked out of their facility, I took him back off leash and was like, come on. Let's walk back outside.
Why are you testing it?
Because that's what they deserve. But that's where I like to. That's what. But we told them, we was like, he's not friendly with strangers. Oh, no, we got it. It's okay. We do this all the time. You don't do him all the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's where I like to be with my dogs. That's why I'm like, I don't feel like putting in the work to do that. A lot of people, they'll get a dog right away just to get over the death of another dog. I'm like, nah, I'm
good. Why you got to put it on me? Like
no, I'm just saying, not you. Let me point this way. A lot of people, that's what they do, you know, just to help them get over the sadness of losing a pet, but... I don't feel like
I know
that.
You're saying you didn't point it towards me, but because I've done it, I felt like
you low key did do that.
We told them about Bentley.
Bentley, God damn.
Bentley died. Bentley you know is what? Probably dead. But...
Bentley was dead the next week, okay? Bentley probably contaminated Supreme, and Supreme wasn't even alive yet.
No.
That's how bad Bentley was.
No, Bentley was the dog I got to replace Carmen. And then I got rid of Bentley and just stuck with Callie.
We had Bentley for 3.5 hours.
No, we had Bentley for 3 minutes.
Yeah. He walked in the door and I was like, get him out of here. He's leaking.
Yes, he was. Bentley had to go back.
And people then, told Angel he was a 6 month old pup. 6 month old pup.
No, they told me he was a teacup Yorkie.
Bentley was about 25 pounds of disease and mange and
he
leak.
He was maybe 10 to 11 pounds and his body felt horrible. Like feeling a dog's like rib cage.
I didn't even
like
touch
fluid.
Him. I said he's contagious. I had to Clorox the floor when he left.
No, I'm not a serial dog owner. Callie is literally the first dog that I was able to buy for myself. And it was a dog that I had wanted for years. Mm-hmm. I had researched and I said, I want a Yorkie. This is exactly what I want. I found a reputable breeder. It was the best, it was the best job I'd ever did with buying a dog. And it was my first time. So getting rid of putting down Callie was extremely emotional for me just because Callie was like...
It looked like Angel was going camping anytime we would go somewhere. That's how much crap she had for Callie.
Callie had a diaper bag. Callie would ride in my purse a lot of times. Callie was, she
and
was,
then turned into an outside.
Then Callie got kicked out.
But that was Supreme. I researched Carne Corso's for probably three and a half years before I got Supreme.
Carmen was another Yorkie.
That was a friend.
Oh my God. It makes it even worse. I was looking for a companion for Callie. I had a girlfriend who was like, I can no longer take care of my teacup Yorkie. They looked very similar. Her dog was better trained. The only thing was her dog would bark more than Callie.
Yeah.
But she didn't pee inside the house.
She would bark to let you know. Like, she would bark to communicate with you. That dog was a freaking angel.
She was great. The only problem with her was, this is the thing about Callie. Callie, I could let out in the front yard. Callie could do what she needed to do, and Callie would come back inside the house. Callie was not about here trying to explore. She was like, there are rapists and thieves in the community. I need to come inside. Carmen, on the other hand, didn't have that type of sense about her. So you had to, like, she didn't live with us as long. So you had to keep an eye on her, and you had to keep a leash on her because she could, like, run off. So she had gotten out of the house while we were gone. She had gotten out of the backyard.
Christmas vacation
and got hit by a car. And so they put the shelter put her down before I even got back. And I had only had her for like 6 months, if that.
We were second day into our Christmas vacation when that happened.
Yeah.
Another Christmas vacation pet story is when, so I used to have a pit bull named X. His name was Xavier. Called him X. And this was Supreme was probably about 9 months old, and X was I think six or seven when they started butting heads. Because X used to stay with my brother out here in Kentucky, and then when I moved out here out to California, I eventually had X shipped out here, and then I ended up getting Supreme. So they were cool. They were buddies. Like X was the alpha, Supreme was his little buddy. Until Supreme got about 9-10 months and he started smelling his own piss. And that's when they started. It was one time, the very first time I remember. I'm sure it was things leading up to that that I didn't catch. But I was outside feeding them one morning. I was feeding, I fed X first. And then I called Supreme over to feed him. But when X was already eating and I was backing Supreme up away from X's bowl, Supreme stood up on his back legs to back up. And X saw it as a challenge. It's him challenging him because you over by my food. And they went at it.
Yeah.
And that was the end of that relationship.
They like that, fought constantly.
That it was separated so them. Stressful. It was the most stressful thing. It was all three of us fighting. Because they were that. And like after that, I broke them up. Everything was cool. They would be fine. And then all of a sudden, it was so random. They would be on separate sides of the yard. Not even, I know dog language. They would catch eye contact. They wouldn't even catch eye contact with each other. One would be peeing, the other one would be smelling something. All of a sudden, they would just like telepathic communicate. They would just like charge at each other. Angel would look back at. They would be fighting. I would be right there punching both of them, trying to get them to get up off each other. Because X was like an 89-pound pit bull, like a 90-pound pit bull, and Supreme at the time was close to 80 pounds, but he was only 9 months, and it was just like.
Marcus tried to build a fence to keep them apart.
Listen to this, y'all. I bought a gate at Home Depot. It was a chain link fence. And then I put slats in it so you couldn't see through it, so they couldn't make eye contact. While we were out of town, the person watching our dog was like, your dogs have been fighting and I cannot separate them. I'm like, even the neighbors got involved because everybody could hear these dogs fighting. I got back in town. X, my pit, he chewed a hole in the chain link fence to get through.
Yes, he did.
Just to fight.
Remember when we were watching somebody's bulldog?
That was still getting along, which was bad. We was watching one of my friend's bulldogs, and like most bulldogs, probably 99% of them, they have respiratory problems. So this dog always sounded like he was growling.
But dogs should know the difference, though.
I don't know. No, but actually, it was the bulldog that was kept. He came in feeling like an alpha. And so to make sure my dogs knew that I was in charge, not them and not him, I would do this training thing to where I would turn them on their back and I would hold them down to make sure that, because X, he was like, he was the oldest. So he was like, I've been in charge for a minute. I ain't about to let somebody come in here. So the bulldog, unbeknownst to me, he already had a plan in his mind to where, oh, okay, this is what it is. So he came and jumped on X. I was like, oh no. So I knocked him off. They seemed cool. So I had the bulldog on a leash. I was walking him over. And he and X walks up to smell him, and the bulldog, I guess, turns around too quick. X growled, the bulldog pounces. So I automatically push X back, because again, X is a nice sized pit bull. He's real stocky.
Big head.
Big jaws. He had the biggest head. His head and jaws were enormous. That's mm-hmm. what looked. He looked terrifying, but X is actually a big teddy bear. Mm-hmm. Strangers yeah. could walk in our backyard. He wouldn't care. He would yeah. play with everybody.
Absolutely not.
Play with. Dogs would bite him that he didn't know. He didn't care because he didn't feel any pain. He right. would just play with him. So I knocked X over. The bulldog jumps on X, and I'm like, if X gets to his feet, it's going to be over. I completely forget about Supreme because he's still a pup.
Right.
So I'm trying to get over to the dogs to so I can get Supreme X away from this bulldog. Before I get over there, X done got to his feet, and he's throwing this dog all over the place. I finally step in. Next thing I know, Supreme jumped in and grabbed the back of the dog. I was
like, they jumped right. this dog. They jumped him. They ganged up on this poor dog.
No blood was drawn, though, which was like I was so happy about. They didn't like rip anything. I think it was mostly pride.
I was like, I think my niece was visiting, and she was like, she looked yes. back. She said Victory was visiting. She said, oh my God, Aunt Angel, the dogs are back there fighting. I was like, oh, well, Uncle Marcus is going to have to take him apart because I wasn't no parts.
So we no ended parts. Up, originally I let the bulldog, my friend's dog, into the house to just stay. And then I would just take him out front. But at night, he was too loud. His breathing, his snoring, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up putting him in the sunroom because our house had a sunroom.
A weather room.
A weather room, as we called it, as y'all heard. And then he was too loud in there. He was still waking us up. I had to be up working more, so I ended up putting him in the garage.
We've had some luck with dogs.
Yeah.
We've had some type of luck. But before we jump into the main portion. Oh, actually, we just told you what had us feeling bad and then went into story time.
We did. We went into story time straight up.
But we're going to talk about our next sponsor for today. And that is The Note Cube. You guys, we have been telling you all about NoCube as we have prepared for Father's Day. NoCube is just an amazing way to send a thoughtful, sentimental gift to whoever you love, and especially for Father's Day, to either your father, your husband, or your father figure, uncle, grandfather, just to let them know what you think about them and how much you love and care about them. the process of being able to get or order the NoCube is so simple. You go into their website at thenocube.com. You tell them who you are. You tell them who you want to send the gift to. You tell them the relationship between you two. So if I was sending it to, let's say, if my grandfather was still alive, I would put, this is my grandfather. Then the NoCube has a list of just a massive list of characteristics that you get to choose from to describe the person you're sending this to. So it could be that they're charismatic, that they're giving, that they're family oriented, that they're attractive, that they're athletic, that they're kind. You click on about 10 to 20 of those characteristics. And from there, within minutes, I would actually say seconds, NoCube creates 60 just beautiful, thoughtful statements to basically say to this person, or like little notes, I should say, or messages that you can say to this person that revolve around the characteristics that you pointed out about them. And what's great is that you can add photos to enhance it. And not only that, you can get a beautiful, have it all put into a beautiful engraved box so that it makes a beautiful keepsake. And being able to just give such a sweet gift like that, I don't know. Like, for me, words of affirmation is huge. So this is like, if it's two different love languages, which is giving gifts and words of affirmation. So to hear like what my partner thinks of me, and then to also see pictures of like memories and moments we've created together, I don't know. It's just a very sweet gift. And it's something that the person can open every day, or like once a day, or they can open it all at one time. But it is beautiful, and you should definitely give it a try. It's the perfect, thoughtful, unexpected gift. It's the perfect gift for Mother's Day, Father's Day, anniversaries, birthdays, weddings, Valentine's. And like I said, you click on amazing qualities and personalized notes are generated for you to then edit and add photos. And it only takes a couple of minutes. And it's a family business. It was founded by a brother and sister. So this is what we like you to do. This is a special offer for all of our listeners. You get 20% off using the promo code ARGUE.
ARGUE.
Free delivery worldwide, and you just shop online at thenotecube.com. It's easy to create, and it lasts a lifetime. Again, it's a special offer just for Is This Going to Cause an Argument listeners. Use promo code ARGUE.
ARGUE.
For 20% off and free shipping worldwide by going to shop online at thenotecube.com. Easy to create, and it lasts a lifetime. Time. And we thank the No Cube for sponsoring this podcast.
Thank you, No Cube.
Anything got you feeling good?
This trip, as y'all know, our background is consistently different once again. Starting to travel, you know what I'm saying? Everything's starting to open back up after this whole pandemic.
I mean, we're still in the pandemic.
In the pandemic, but everything is seems to be getting better. So it's got me feeling good. Finally getting home.
I got to spend some time with your best friend yesterday.
Yeah, my homeboy BJ. Got to spend some time with him. We're going to be spending some more time with them. Mm-hmm. Chicks are sneaky.
Why are we sneaky? We ain't sneaky.
So yeah, that's got me feeling good. Finally getting back to the home front, checking on the house, checking on my mama, my family. So all this got me feeling great.
What's got me feeling good is the same thing. Seeing my family. I haven't seen them. We haven't seen most of our family for over a year and a half, which is unusual for us. Starting the tour has got me feeling good. I'm excited to see Marcus go full steam in influencer land. What's also got me feeling good is that all these brand deals are coming down the pipeline. Yeah, I'm having a hard time keeping them straight. There's one that I realized we have to shoot before we leave here. So we have a very small windows of opportunity to get that thing shot.
I know, yeah. We got some tight windows we work with.
But it's super exciting to know that the Lord is making sure provision is coming in steadily now that Marcus's outside income is no longer a part of our equation. So, I am definitely happy about that, that the Lord is faithful and that this step that we felt like he was leading us to take, that he is also going to see us through it. So yeah. Super grateful about absolutely. That.
Liana, in the comments, I better see you before I leave.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to be on New Zealand on Sunday, FYI.
That's his baby cousin.
You still a baby. I still see you as a baby.
She's a baby cousin.
She's my baby cousin. She got kids and she's married, but I don't care.
She's married to another Marcus.
She is.
Okay, Mr. Producer.
So, finally, the episode of today. Me and Angel were actually talking about this. Was it yesterday or the day before? About the things that were actually, this guy brought up through a train of things of being the stages that your brain goes through that you used to do when you were, that you know, at a younger age that was very dangerous that you won't try now. So, today's episode is about things that you used to do at a younger age that you would consider extremely dangerous or is extremely dangerous at this age that you would never try.
Let me give you a little more backstory.
Yeah.
Great idea, first of all. This is why I told you. This is where you're supposed to be.
Hey.
Marcus is, when he produces episodes, they are so much better than mine, and I have no problem admitting that.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. my girlfriend, Denora, who loves to, she's an NPR listener and she listens to TED Talks. You know, she's one of these smart broads. She's like, yeah. You know, when we were listening to classical music over lunch break, I was like, I'd be like, girl, what is you talking about?
Yeah, she always sending me something to listen to. I'm like, I'm not going to listen to it.
But it was a great.
Y'all, we got.
We got Marcus.
Lo-fi mama. My mama drunk. Her ain't. They just talking behind the camera. Nothing, mama.
Nothing. No, they can't see you.
I wish y'all could see what we saw.
It was a TED Talk, and it was about brain development. And for me, it was very eye-opening because... One, it makes you, well, at least for me, it made me have to start giving my kids some grace. Because the way the brain develops is from the back to the front. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, as you get older, the more of the front of your brain will become developed. And this is the part of the brain that controls emotions, that has you kind of rationally think out the consequences of your actions. So was trying to explain how the reason why teenagers seem so moody, so emotional, make dumb decisions is honestly because they are functioning without this being at full capacity.
Yeah. The front of their brain.
The front of the brain. And it also makes sense why like a toddler is so emotional. Why a six-year-old might be extremely emotional. They don't have control over their emotions the way an adult should. A fully functioning in their brain adult. So I was like, yeah, Marcus, this makes a lot of sense. Not just looking at our kids, but even when looking I think about looking at us. I sincerely, this is not no like, oh, whatever. In my 20s, like teens into my 20s, I planned on skydiving. That was like a for real thing. I had already done bungee jumping and I was like, okay, I want to be able to skydive. I want to jump out of a plane and hope that a piece of cloth tied to rope to my body was going to help me land. Right? Help me land.
No, skydiving is just just a parachute.
Yeah, that's what
I was thinking, bungee cord jumping.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I still want to skydive actually.
He's younger than me, so that part of his brain is still developing. Now, I couldn't fathom the thought of doing that. One, I feel like it's so selfish to my children and my husband, who obviously can't function without me.
Obviously,
he can't. To say, oh, for the sake of a thrill, I'm going to put my life in grave danger so that I can knock this off of a list that I created when I was an idiot. Marcus is actually a lot slower to start knocking certain activities off of his list.
Yeah.
Which I do.
So what's something that you used to, back to the topic, what's something that you used to do or something you've done at a younger age to that you look back on like, wow, that was dangerous and I didn't even see it as dangerous?
Road rage? Yeah, I've calmed down a lot when it comes to road rage, just out of the strength of, I always, you know, when we were younger, we would think that we were the angrier one, the smarter, the one that could outsmart the person that did something that pissed us off. We always thought that we would be the victor. I mean, you might not in the sense that you're a guy and that there can be a vast difference in strength or whatever. But especially when it came to being in a car, somebody cut me off. I'm over here thinking, oh, I got to get you back right now. Mm-hmm. So I got to get in front of you. I wouldn't be as bad as you as like slamming on my brakes. But you at least go know I'm pissed off at you. And people are crazy.
Yeah, people are crazy.
Road rage is
one. I definitely don't let stuff get to me nearly as much. Every now and then, somebody can do something just right at the right time. I'm like, you know what? I will no longer do dangerous maneuvers just to catch up with them. But if I find myself beside them or in front of them, if they did tick me off that way, I will, like, all right, you earned this.
Yeah, no.
So Angels, yeah, road rage. That's pretty so it's like one of your top ones.
Oh yeah. I jumped out of the car on a woman.
When Angel was talking about that, it's crazy because I remember thinking in like my late teens, I felt invincible.
I know that to be true for a lot of boys.
Like for real. Like I feel like, not that I walked around like with this, my chest poked out, but I feel like any situation that could have probably come up, I could have been put in, I would have been able to figure out a way to get out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember why I used to think that, but I remember thinking that, like, it was like, we'd be walking through the mall or something, and like if there was construction or something going on, I was like, man, they're doing construction. And just thinking, oh, if this building were to collapse, I could probably figure a way out to get out of this.
Oh, bless your heart.
Like stuff like that. I remember feeling invincible as at that age. But one of the things one of the things that we used to do, all right, this is farm that's near my,
I'm glad you're telling this.
Oh, absolutely. There was a lot of farms, but there was one we used to go exploring. So we would find this creek, mm-hmm. and we would just like hike along the side of it. And one day we went out so far to where we came up on this this property, and they had a boat. We're like, dang, that's a boat. So being, you know, stupid teenagers, we like, let's use it. Let's take the boat. Now, technically, this is stealing. We didn't see it as stealing because we had no plan on keeping this boat. We were going to bring it back and put it right back where we found it. So, of course, that's exactly what we did. We took the boat out, had a nice time on the creek. We went down a little further. It was like, all right, let's bring it back. It was a little tougher because we were fighting against the current. Brought it back, propped it against a tree,
and
left.
Stop right there. What? We're going to do the next ad. They're going to have to wait until we get back from this ad before you find out what happened, because the story gets even better. This next ad is from a sponsor that we love, and they are Apostrophe. Y'all know there was an evil pimple that was traveling all across the globe. It was jumping from Kevin's face, my assistant's face in Houston. Everybody was getting this pimple. Y'all, and I am not here for not having good, pretty skin, okay? And I know a lot of people struggle with adult acne. A lot of people struggle with hyperpigmentation. A lot of people struggle with, like, skin texture. Well, let me tell you right now, Apostrophe can help you with that, okay? Quit trying to go onto Instagram and YouTube and find out other people's skincare regimen. Go to Apostrophe so they can give you a regimen that is just for you. Apostrophe is making science-backed, okay, prescriptive skincare with oral and topical medications that are clinically proven to clear acne. So easy to get, just right at your fingertips. All you do is go on Apostrophe, you fill out a questionnaire based off of what your skincare goals are. You snap a couple of pictures, pow, 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 of your skin. And within a few hours, I think maybe 2 days, maybe even less than that, a medical, okay, licensed dermatologist will come up with a plan to help you. And guess what? That means you ain't got to wait to make an appointment with a dermatologist. That means you ain't got to drive to a pharmacy to pick up your prescription, because Apostrophe mails that stuff directly to you. Come on, it just doesn't even get any easier than that. And Apostrophe will not only look at your goals, they also look at your medical history. You feel me? And they can also do things like reduce redness. They can work with wrinkles, okay? And like I said, dark spots as well. So one thing that I truly loved about it was just how simple it was. Y'all know my schedule is crazy. I don't have time to be doing no ripping and running for something. I mean, as much as my skin is important to me, there's other things that kind of take precedence. So I can't take a whole day to go to a doctor's office, wait, go pick up a prescription. So the fact that I was able to do it from my house, just in my office, snap, 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 question, answer, 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 click send, get a treatment recommendation and then move on about my day. It doesn't get any better than that. And then also, prescriptive medications, there's nothing that can replace it. Like, yeah, you could do home remedies and stuff, but prescriptive medication works. And the fact that they use oral and topical, they are working from the inside out and the outside in. Like, come on, you can't beat that. So this is what we want you to do. We have a special deal for our listeners. Save $15 off your first visit with a board certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com/isthis.
Is this.
And when you use our code, is this.
Is this.
And now this code is only available to our listeners. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/isthis.
Is this.
And click begin visit. Then use our code, is this.
Is this.
At sign up and you'll get $15 off your dermatology visit. That's apostrophe.com/isthis.
Is this.
And use the code is this.
Is this.
To get your dermatology visit and save $15. And we thank Apostrophe for sponsoring this podcast.
Thank you, Apostrophe.
So tell them the rest.
So we use the boat. We take it out. No, we borrow the boat. We borrow the boat, take it out. We probably did this three, four times. Because now we know exactly where it is. It's not like back to back every week. But probably, I don't know, this lasted for about 3 or 4 or 5 months maybe. We probably took it like 3 times over about 4 months. So one time we go up and we don't have any interest in the boat this time at all. But we were going past the property. And in the past, we had never seen anybody on this property, but we could tell, like, people go there, whatever. So we were down by the creek, and we were like, all right, let's go. We could hear something. We was like, oh, it sounds like somebody's up there. So we were going past the property, had no interest, but however, where we had to enter their property to get past the little section to continue on our little exploration, you know, our exploring hike. And then is a point to where we got to this really steep hill. So we go up the hill and look over and we can see some dudes with bloodhounds and shotguns. So I was like, hey, I come back down. I'm like, man, they got dogs and guns. We was like, they were like, what? I'm like, I'm dead serious. Go, go. So we start going back. So we try to be quiet. And so we're going, right? We're like, at this point, like jogging really close to the water, like trying to be quiet, trying to get away from their property. And it got to the point where we're back on the other side of their property. As soon as we did that, my boy, he climbs a tree to see, because it's like really thick. This is in Kentucky. So it's like really thick brush, really thick bushes, trees. You can't really see anything. He climbs up the tree. I see the look on his face. He jumps back down and was like, they are coming. They are looking for us. He said, they're crossing the field. So again, they got these guns, they got these dogs. Now, he has a Chow Chow. I have a German Shepherd, and they're both with us. So I'm like, I ain't too much worried about these dogs tracking us because I know our dogs are going to divert them. But as we're running, trying to get away from these dudes, we hear, and at this point, they don't know where we are, but we're like hauling ass together. And we hear them shooting, and we're laughing. We hear the shotguns going off, and we're laughing like, they for real after us. But the one thing that made us not so scared, because I could tell they were using like buckshots. So I could hear like the little pep buckshots, like, or birdshot uses like a whole bunch of little BBs. So I can hear them like hitting the top of the tree. So I'm like, all right, they just trying to scare us. But at the same time, this is like somebody is actually shooting at you and you're running and laughing about it. I look back on it now, it's like, how crazy and stupid are you?
I don't. When did you finally get to that point? Because he's told me, when he first told me the story, he still they were shooting and we were running. Situation. And
I'm out of it now. Isn't there ain't no point looking back on it like
no. But even when I was just like, because I was in utter shock, and I was like, I plan on breeding with this man, and are my children going to have this foolishness in them to want to be near that much danger and laugh?
Yes, at one point.
Amar's the only one who's got it. Got that gene.
No, they all got it. Trust me on this.
We're
going to have to sweep and mop. But that's one of those things. It was like, I look back on it now. It was like, there's no way as a grown man I would come on somebody's property unannounced to borrow, quote unquote, big huge quote unquote, air quotes, borrow a boat. Just young and stupid, you know, but that's what happened. Like, we were out in the country, we were just, this is the same place, like the creek in the wintertime would freeze. And that's one thing we were very cautionary about, but the entire things would freeze solid to where we would just go out there and slide on it to have fun. But that wasn't like, I wouldn't consider that dangerous because like everybody would go out there. It was people, we were out there playing one time and this lady literally went by ice skating. Just waved at us and went on about her way, like ice skating. Like, this creek is 98 miles long. It's 2 miles short of being considered a river, Alcorn Creek.
Is that statistical?
Yeah. And she just went by just skating. We were like, hi, and she waved and went on about her business, and we were out there just playing on the ice. But we used to do so much stuff back there because, you know, we're out in the country, and like, you would get hurt, but it wasn't ever anything serious. Parents didn't worry about you because it ain't like you in the city where somebody, strangers, could do anything to you other than if you go on their property and they come out shooting at you. But they didn't know about that.
I trust people less, I think, now.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a situation to where you trusted someone more than what you would have?
I trusted everybody because my mother put that in us. My mother used to have just the down and out living with us. you would have thought that we had an Airbnb where people could rent out a room, but nobody was renting anything, but they were living with us. And not that anything happened with the people who stayed with us, but, you know, my mother has always been one to trust that people are going to respond. Like, my mother used to be the type that would, she heard a boy. She was a Monique at the time. So she would hear a young black boy cussing at a dude working at the gas station. And she'll be like, now, that is
young man.
Yeah, that is uncalled for. You say sorry. And back in the day, and now I was just like, oh shoot, my mother about to get herself cussed out. That's what I was thinking in my head. Mom's about to get
so you already had that mindset of, you know what? Her frontal lobe wasn't completely developed yet.
Well, for me, it was because I was like, I went to school with boys like this, and these are the type that just cuss out anybody. And he was like, I'm sorry. She was like, then you shouldn't do that. And he was like, yes, ma'am. And then she gave him some money.
We encountered a situation like that. We were out there, and this was like toward the end of winter, and back on the creek, the ice was starting to melt. So we were throwing rocks on it, trying to like break it, you know, break up the ice. And on top of that, when the ice gets thin, it makes this crazy sound when something hard hits it.
Mm.
Like, the sound echoes through the entire thing and it comes back. It's the most crazy. I've never heard a sound like this ever in my life. So we would do that too. So this random white lady walks up to us. I guess we own her property or something. I don't know. And she's like, excuse me. And we're like, yeah. And it was me, Antoine, Jeremy, Jay. It's like five or six of us, young black kids. And at the time, we're both thinking, because she's like basically telling us this is their property and she don't want any of us to get hurt, but definitely not on their property. So if you could just like move it along. And I noticed, like, I started talking over them. They started talking over us, but we're all being very courteous. Like, you know what? We're sorry. You know, sorry about that. But once we got back, you know, once we left and started walking, we all talked about it and we're laughing. We're like, because we all thought the others were going to start cussing her out.
Oh.
So I'm thinking, all right, they about to start cussing this chick out and throwing rocks at her and telling her to get on.
Oh, God.
And we all thinking the same thing. So we're all like, no, you know what? We're sorry. Talking over each other, like trying to be respectful. But that was funny. It was like, man, I thought y'all was about to start cussing.
Yes. Because it's not, you know, I know everybody's like, it takes a village. We don't have villages. And I don't believe in just deciding to insert myself into a village that I was not invited to.
We had a village.
Yes, that's different. You all had an established village.
Yeah.
Now, this day and age, people are like, that's the problem. Nobody will speak to this youth. If the parent ain't doing it, I am so sorry. I am not about to volunteer. Unless that child asks for me to take that position, or if I'm already in a position of authority, I'm praying that the person that is in authority over them just steps up.
Now, I got into some trouble in the city, but it's statute of limitations. I'm not sure if I can talk about that.
I mean, I have. There's some
honestly,
stuff that I'm
like,
gonna,
there's some things I can't say.
I'm no longer going to unlawfully enter. Now, that's just something I've decided this year, 2021. That finally.
Today?
That finally.
Did that happen today? Or?
No. Top of the year. I haven't
top of the year.
Have I unlawfully entered?
I don't know. I ain't with you all the time.
I don't think I've unlawfully entered any place.
Actually, technically, yeah. That little fair that you told me to drive up, the Candy Crush thing.
No, there was no sign saying not to go in. That was public property. That was public property. We never actually went into. We were on
rationale.
The No, no, no. We were on the we never left the parking lot.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But I've decided that is something that I can no longer do. So I will I just feel as though if I were to get caught and if the police officer was feeling frisky, it would be the dumbest thing to have to explain to my children.
Yeah.
So mommy was being nosy.
Especially at this age, a police officer approaches you, a person of quote unquote authority, and they're like 15, 20 years younger than you.
And I've got to be like, so let me.
First of all, I'm not calling you sir.
Let me explain. No, I will. I'll be like, sir. What's your name, Jimmy? Jimmy, let me tell you what happened. I thought my purse was over there. Be making up
oh
a
my
lie.
God. Something that still boils my blood.
What boils your
there
blood?
There was one time, what were we going to see? And there was a young cop, like, snapping at us. We were trying to get in and our name was on a list. He was like, ma'am, it's closed. You all need to leave the premises. It was something that we were going to see out in California. And we finally made, like, we were able to get a hold of the right people that was at a theater, a movie or something. Mm-hmm. And they were able to walk up like, yes, they can come through. Because he was standing at the front trying to talk to some chick.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he got real. He was beating his chest so hard. It's like, you need to leave the premises. It's clearly closed. I'm like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
You remember that? And AJ had to calm me down.
Coco.
Coco, yes.
Yes, we had been invited. And I was like, but I'm on a list. No, the list is closed.
Like, you have no idea. You were hired to work overtime.
No, it's not.
This line.
I am VIP. I show up when I want. And this is when I've showed up 30 minutes into the movie. Because this is when we could get down here.
Ooh.
And it was all of a sudden. Ugh. And then also, I think I am done with needing people to know they were wrong. No, I'm not. I feel like I'm getting closer to it. The younger version of me was such a know-it-all that whenever someone tried to tell me I was wrong and I knew I was right, I would make sure the moment that it came that allowed me to show them they were wrong, mm-hmm. I made sure that moment happened. That wasn't going to be like, you know what, it's fine. I do it less now, but it's still not completely out of me. It's still not completely out of me that I'm just like, you know, it doesn't matter. They can just be wrong.
Yeah. That if it's convenient for me to show them, I will show them.
Uh-huh.
But if I have to go a couple of steps further, it's like, nah. It's like literally like my second to last week of work, there was a guy that I've had conflict in the past with that I ended up working with on this specific contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically was trying to call me out in a meeting, like subliminally, like not clearly call me out. But it was like, well, Marcus was doing this, so I'm not sure where this is. So I just sat and let him talk and get his whole spiel out. And I was like, this is all virtual, you know, we're on a like Zoom meeting. So I just let him say whatever he had to say. And I was like, well, actually. And then I basically knocked every single one of his points down. And then later when I didn't think anything of it, honestly didn't care. But later when I seen him, I hadn't seen him for a while. Instead of him saying, hey, Marcus, how's it going? He literally the first words out of his mouth was, hey, I don't want to make it seem like I was trying to throw you under the bus earlier. That's literally the first thing he said to me. He said, I don't want to make it seem like that, so I hope you don't feel like that. And I said, no, that's exactly what it looked like and how I feel. I said, but it doesn't matter. I don't really care. I addressed it. And I'll leave it at that. Okay, I just don't want it to seem that way. I said, it does seem that way, but it's fine. I said, just like, it's fine. Just left it alone. Like, I don't need you to, it's fine. It's definitely what you were doing. This is what you do. This is why we always butted heads in the past. Mm. And then the people approached me about it, like, after that. I was like, so he definitely was trying to do that if that's the first thing he had to say when he came. I was like, I don't, let's not waste our energy on this dude.
I know. I don't know. I was about to say, it definitely depends on who it is. I typically, when it comes to white males, have a very, oh no, you gonna know you wrong. Which you're not about to do. Because here's the thing, I don't actually mind being wrong. Especially when you can prove to me I'm wrong. When you can prove to me I'm wrong, because you know what that helps me be? Right the next time. So I don't mind if you have the evidence to show me that I am wrong. Completely okay with that. I was about to say that. I was about to say, oh, it's just with white dudes, but it's not. It's still with everybody, but I don't feel as passionate about it. Now, if somebody's telling me something about myself, now it's different. When it's a third part, like a third, like not me, it's about something that's outside of me, whether it be an event or whether it be like some policy that's being put into place and someone has it wrong and I know what is right, or if it's a retelling of the past, that I probably have an easier time letting go. But when somebody's telling me something about myself, I can't.
She has a problem with it.
When they're wrong, I can't let it go. And I feel like but it's not getting me, I don't get as passionate about it. So I feel like probably by the time I'm 50, I'll be like, oh, is that what you think about me? Is that what I am? Okay, great. I would love to get to that point because I think that would piss them off even more. Great. Is that what you think? Beautiful. Can you pass me such and such? I don't know. It's very, I don't know. But I definitely am not as dangerous. I'm a little more scared of flying than what I ever was. I used to never be. I used to be like, listen, if the Lord take me on this plane, he take me on this plane. Ain't nothing I can do about it.
I didn't know that you're a little more scared. Ooh, I always got anxiety.
Get out of the wine fridge.
He's literally in the wine fridge. Now he's looking. He's trying to figure out why the light ain't cutting off. I used to always get anxiety when Angel or the kids or any of my family would fly, friends, anybody. If I knew they were in the air, it would always give me anxiety. At this point, I still kind of do. I think I just get anxious until they land. But that's one thing that...
Listen, the last time I went to Boston, which was for the Women in Comedy Festival for my short film getting in the festival, I was low-key petrified the entire flight.
You know, that's okay.
I was like, oh, this is not what I was used to. I used to have such a resolve when it came to about my life. While I get worried about other people living or dying, when it comes to my life, I'm like, Lord, I know you'll call me home when it's time. And I have no reason to fear that because I'll get to be with you. Now I'm like, the cupcake, now, Lord. Now
I got some things I'm trying to do.
I'm trying to see these babies grow up. You know, I want to hope that I have a girl in my lineage, you know, that likes me, that's like me, that behaves like me. So, yeah, but I didn't have that anxiety when we flew here because the flight was so short and it was so smooth.
Yeah, that... Again, they probably need to look at his flight plan. He found some shortcuts. But yeah, family. So, let us know what things that you used to do that you consider dangerous now, or that you still may do that may be dangerous that you realize you shouldn't do.
That you realize your frontal lobe is turned off.
Yeah.
We want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, The Note Cube, Apostrophe, and Magic Spoon.
Yes.
Please check them out by using our links or our promo codes so that they know that we sent you there and that you're one of our listeners. Again, Absolutely. When you check out our sponsors. You are supporting this podcast. Mm-hmm. And of course, a huge hug and love. And the fact that I'm about to start seeing these people in the face, because a lot of them will be at the shows. Special shout out to our Patreon. Angels Wings, Tanks Riders, Immediate Family. We appreciate you.
Greatly appreciate y'all. Thank you so
for
much.
For being here with us at this late night, this late hour. We will see you all at the next time we shoot this. Until next time, subscribe to Tanksley TV. Subscribe to That Chick Angel TV. Check the links out in the show notes as well as the bio or the description of this video.
Mm-hmm. And Angel, That Chick Angel, and Marcus Hay on the gram.
That's where you can follow us.
Yeah.
Man shit, get man shit.
Hey, that
is not ready yet.
It's not ready yet.
Shop Mama Likes. That's where you can get some merch. All right, guys.
Y'all be going, fam.
Bye.